sing another song together. I know Baptists sing better when they're full. Amen. All right, let's take our songbooks and turn to number 596. Number 596, let's sing about that victory in Jesus. Let's stand together and sing.
Enjoy your lunch. Man, it was a good one, and I appreciate the ladies and all those that made that happen for us. It's a lot of work feeding all these folks. Thank you so much for those that were involved in that. Well, I'm going to ask you to pray about something. We have an old-fashioned pit, barbecue pit, to put charcoal in and make that chicken just right. Right now, it's an old-fashioned pool. And so if you could pray that this rain will stop, because we can't cook chicken outside if it's raining, because it just puts the flames out. That's no good. So pray about that, because we all like to eat. Amen. So let's pray about that tonight. Well, we're going to ask Brother Ray Stone if he'll come. Brother Stone was a member of Bethel Baptist Church for many years. He was Dr. Strachan's right-hand man at times, and he was a staff evangelist and led many souls to Christ. Great soul winner. And we're so glad that he's been part of our service today. He's going to come and open our service with a word of prayer.
Father in heaven, what a great honor it is to be a child of God, but what a great honor it is too today to be in the midst of these great preachers. Father, we pray your blessing upon this service this afternoon and throughout the conference. I pray, Father, for each preacher and his dear wife and family that you'd watch over them. make them a powerhouse and a power servant of God. We need today, in this day in which we live, desperately need preachers to preach the gospel. So bless this service. May the Holy Spirit come down in great power, empower the preachers, empower each one, we pray. Thank you for this opportunity to be in this midst today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're going to go to his nephew now, Pastor Al Stone. He's going to come and represent Bearing Precious Seed Canada. They have a brand new video they'd like to share. He's going to share a few words first.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Fury. Having had one of these conferences, I know what's involved, and already my heart has been blessed, and looking forward to some great things this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, and thank you for coming and being a part. And I want to thank publicly my Uncle Ray, who was there the night that I got saved. And on West Street here in Simcoe, I was with my grandma at the time, and just happened to be over there on a Thursday night, and Dr. Strachan and my Uncle Ray came by, led me to Christ, and I am forever indebted to him. I love you, Uncle Ray. Thank you so much for doing that, and my life is a joy because of salvation. Well, most of you know about Bearing Precious Seed. I have called you 300 times as well, and sent out letters and all kinds of things, and most of you understand what we're trying to do, but we just did a brand new video. We've not yet really publicly released it. I wanted to save it for the conference for you. I want to thank Brother Paul Connor. Where are you at, Brother Connor? He's back over here. Brother Connor helped us with this. What a talented young man. What a wonderful gift God has given to him. If you are not planning on taking a seminar, I don't know if there's an option, but if there's an option, you need to go to it. This guy really knows web design. He knows video. He does a tremendous job. He's going to charge you for it, but I'll tell you what, it'll be worth every penny that you're going to pay. And he is very, very kind and helpful to churches. And if you don't have a good website, you need one. If you want to publicize, videos are the tool of the day. And I would recommend to you, and we're going to try this. I know it's hard to get into churches. I know it's hard to get meetings. We're going to send these videos out via the internet. It'll save having to take church time. It'll save having to, you know, book things. And I'm praying and hoping that God will use this as a tool. And this is on our website. This is on bpscanada.org. You can download it. You can show it to your church. And I would encourage you to do it. I don't have to come to your church. I don't have to take a service, you don't have to give me a love offering, and you don't have to feed me, all right? But your church can still benefit by seeing what it is that we're trying to do. One of the biggest questions that people have is, what do you do at Bearing Precious Seed? And so we're going to show you how we put them together, what's involved. We're going to show you the facility. And then we have the help of Dr. Jessup as well in this video. And so we appreciate that very much. I want to read this to you before we watch it. I just got this yesterday. This is from a dear friend of mine over in Michigan. We're doing John of Romans not only for Canada, but around the world. And we've done some for churches in the States. We've done Africa. We've done Scotland. We've done the Philippines, Haiti, other parts of the world. And we want to put John of Romans in every home, not only in Canada, but around the world. But my heart, you know, my heart is to reach our country with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you a very special project that we're ready to set out on and that we'd like for you to help us with. I'm just blunt enough to tell you that I want you to pray for us, but I need your money. I need your money. It's all about money, folks, and we know that. And if you're trying to raise money, you know. We're going to do this, and our church is prepared to do this as long as we have to, and we'll take care of it. But if we can get some help, we can do it quicker. And we're seeing tremendous results. Newfoundland has been a tremendous harvest force of John of Romans. And I know some guys have said, we put them out and didn't get any result. I'll tell you this, we're getting cards and letters back years later, people saying, I kept that. I did not throw it away. And I need some help, or I've directed them to a church, or churches are seeing people come with them in their hands. And so I got this word, and my pastor friend, Brother Bob Mack, over at New Life Bible Baptist Church in Ypsilanti, Michigan, just wrote this to me. He said, Al, it was great seeing you this weekend. We did a wedding together in our church. He said, we have been having a lot of difficulty getting these booklets delivered. There was a delay with the mailer we used. Then we found out we had to apply for a special nonprofit permit. The mailers would not cover us and other delays. This is in the U.S., so. Finally, it appeared that everything was in order, so the mailer took the 42,000 John of Romans to the local post office branch that handles bulk mail for our area. These booklets were set up to be delivered just like any other first-class letter a person would receive in their mailbox. These booklets were all addressed and ready to go. When the post office took them and weighed them and found that they were not all the same weight, some were 1.2 ounces and some were 1.3 ounces. The new rules on bulk mail in the United States is that if all items or that all items must weigh exactly the same. A phone call was placed by the local post office to the postmaster regional director in Detroit, who stated that the only way those would be mailed is if they were sent out first class at 65 cents apiece. The mailer called me and told me that there was no way these could ever be mailed, and since there was already addressed, they were pretty much worthless. He said the problem was insurmountable, but they don't know our God. I hung up the phone and I just prayed and told God, this is His church. I just work for Him. These are His booklets provided by His church in Canada, and they contain His word for the lost to trust in Him. If He wanted them out, He would have to do a miracle. I called John Moore, a member of our church, who works at this same local post office. God began to work. Usually the local post office would just say, tough, that's the way it is. But this man placed a call to Detroit. When it did not work, he called the Postmaster General in Washington, D.C. He pleaded our case, and the Postmaster General went to the rule book on bulk mail, came back and told this man that there was relatively an unknown and unused exception to the rule. He stated that under the rule called DMM, the shipment could go out. However, a call to the Detroit office once again rejected the mailing until it was brought up that the DMM, when the DMM was brought up, the regional director in Detroit was silenced. By the way, just so you know, the person's name was a Muslim name. Just so you know that. Okay, not I'm inferring anything. Her next words, okay, let the mailing go out with no extra charges. Praise God, that is His sovereign grace. He loves it when He hears insurmountable, because then He can show His power and glory. The story doesn't stop there. The booklets were to be mailed out on September 17th. However, a number of them went out even earlier, and homes began to receive them on Saturday the 15th. We received 3 phone calls, 2 on Saturday, 1 on Sunday. The one called Sunday came to church, heard the gospel, and was saved. On his way out, he thanked me, which is thanking you and your church for the caring enough for the sin of the gospel to this house. One of the other calls was from an elderly lady that would like to start being picked up for the church. Praise God. Thank you for bearing precious seed. So just to see what God's doing. And I've got to tell you, if you're not involved yet, please get involved. And we want to help your community. This ministry is for you. It does something for our church to put our hands to it, but it's for you, for your community, to help you in reaching people with the gospel that you might not normally reach. In the city centers, where it's a closed community, it's a high rise, we can get in and communicate to people where you won't be able to. So watch this short video. It's called Imagine.
The last time you heard of anyone reaching a nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, let alone the second largest landmass in the world? I'm Dr. Al Stone. I was born, raised, saved, and went to Bible college here in Canada, and now pastor here. I'm brokenhearted to think that this nation has never had a national revival. There are 36 million people in Canada, 250,000 immigrants coming to Canada each year. There are 13 million homes in Canada, and in 10 years, Bearing Precious Seed Canada has reached almost 3 million of those homes with the Gospel of John and Book of Romans. We can produce a John of Romans and mail it anywhere in Canada for 40 cents. We have the facility, the manpower, the logistics. All we lack is the finances. $4 million will let us finish the task right now. But that's just not reality for most. But 40 cents is... 40 cents to produce and mail a booklet, the Gospel of John and Book of Romans, anywhere in Canada. Why, we've even mailed them north of the Arctic Circle. Let me introduce you to our production manager, Johnny Yeomans. He's going to guide you through the process of producing a John of Romans.
In 2008, God gave us this 5,000 square foot production center and office complex. It is here that we collate, staple, cut, and box and ship John and Romans all across Canada and all across the world. Some people ask us, how do you put John and Romans together? Well, come on in and I'll show you how we do it. Here on a Thursday night, we have at least 25 people. We can sometimes have up to 50 people. In an hour's time, we can complete at least 10,000 John and Romans. And in a week's time, we can have all 10,000 shipped anywhere in Canada. The scripture portions come in from Milford, Ohio. We call those the signatures. Here at the facility, we tear them apart because they come joined from the press. We then take them to the men's table and start putting the signatures together. From there, our ladies add a customized cover to the John and Romans. From the women's table, we then take them over to the stapler, where the stapler actually makes its own staples from a roll of wire. From the stapler, they then go to the three-knife trimmer, which cuts 10 John and Romans at a time. Cutting three sides at a time allows us to be much more productive. We then take them, box them, and stack them, where we process them to be shipped out all across Canada. By mailing through Canada Post, we can produce and mail a John and Romans anywhere in this great nation, from Vancouver to Newfoundland, Toronto, or the Territories, for just 40 cents.
I'm Dr. Earl Jessup, founder and president of Baptist Church Planting Ministry. Having had the privilege of helping to plant over 50 churches in Canada, I know the value of both advertising a new church start, as well as putting the gospel into the hands of those in the communities where those churches are started. Since 2005, we have worked with Bearing Precious Seed Canada to supply church plants worldwide, and specifically in Canada, with a customized cover for each church plant. Bearing Precious Seed has produced several hundred thousand John and Romans for Canada, Scotland, and African church plants. In supporting them, you support the work of church planting while at the same time the distribution of the Word of God across Canada and around the world. I strongly urge you to consider Bearing Precious Seed Canada as a part of your missions program. In helping them, you help us help others.
Imagine being able to reach a nation at just 40 cents a piece. It's doable, and in a very short time. Please consider making Bearing Precious Seed Canada and our Canadian Gospel Project part of your mission's giving. And in advance, this preacher and the nation of Canada thanks you for your support of the Canadian Gospel Project.
Ask you to do is show that to your church. You can download it from our website. If you need, we can send it to you. That's all I'm asking, to show it to them and let them decide if they want to be a part of that or not. And you'll be surprised how many folks want to be a part of something like that. I want to encourage you to come to St. Thomas and help us put them together. We would love to have you. And when your people put their hands to it, it's amazing. Now, I want you to know that there are other ministries in Canada that are trying to reach our country with the gospel. Brother Harness is here. Brother Harness and I have talked many times. We are not in competition. This is not a competition. We're working together. And we've talked about this. The next province that we would like to try and cover is Saskatchewan. And Brother Harness was very kind to know that they have a good deal of mailing in Saskatchewan, and talked to some other preachers from there that said we've covered parts of that. We've got that information. We're not going to double coverage that. We're going to take areas that haven't been done in the last 5 years or never been done, and we're going to cover those now. And then one day we'll go back and we'll get those other areas if they're not done. Because I do want to hit every home in Canada. I've told people we're going to try and do that. And I think I have an obligation as a director and as our church to do that. So I want you to know that our next effort is going to be in Saskatchewan. Brother Fury has already talked to some of the men in their church, and they would like to be a big part of that. And what they'd like to try and do is raise half the money to be able to mail those out into Saskatchewan. And I'll let him say a little bit, but he wants to encourage others, especially those preachers in Saskatchewan, to get on board with that and help as well. And other provinces, you might be from another province. Maybe you're from Newfoundland and you've already had it done. You've seen the effect. You want to help someone else. Get hold of Brother Fury and let him know that, and we'll work together. Now, one of the blessings that we've got is that there is another Bearing Precious Seed type ministry in Beckley, West Virginia, who's done a lot of work for churches in Canada. They donated a half million of those Canadian Gospel Project John and Romans to us. We just got 12 skids. We had four, and there are four more coming. So we have a half million John and Romans. We don't have to pay for the production on those. All we have to pay is the postage. 13 cents a piece. We'll get them anywhere in our country. And so we're going to do that. We also received a check on Sunday night for $5,000. We're going to put that towards the Yukon. That'll do all of the Yukon. So far we've done Prince Edward Island, Labrador, Newfoundland. I forget what. None of it. Thank you. None of it. And so we're picking up momentum. And guys, ladies, realistically, at the momentum we've got, we could reach this nation with the gospel in our lifetime. In our lifetime. Imagine that. Think of another nation that's had the gospel in every home. I can't think of another. It'd be a first. And we want to do that in conjunction with these other ministries and with other churches. We want to reach our nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother. Thank you, Brother Stone. As Brother Stone was saying, we have challenged Bethel Baptist Church to try to raise half the funds for Saskatchewan. It's just under $48,000 to do the entire province. And I've written a letter to all 12 independent Baptist churches on our list in Saskatchewan and challenged them each just to raise $2,000 each, and that would give us the other half. Let me encourage you, get on board with this project. I believe that putting out God's Word will help our church right here in Simcoe, Ontario, if we're reaching out to Saskatchewan as well. I'll tell you how this happened. It became contagious in our church, and I'm going to share this testimony, so hopefully it'll help your church. We had a family in our church got burdened about this, and so they wrote a check and paid for the John and Romans in every home in Prince Edward Island. One family did an entire province. What could your church do? And then another lady did all the John and Romans for the two Markham church plants in our church. That began to roll. Then our Sunday school kids said, we want to do something. Our Sunday school children, just our children, raised the money and did all of none of it themselves. Praise the Lord. And that's just got contagious, got excited. Now we want to take on a bigger project. Let me encourage you, start somewhere. You can do something to reach our nation with the gospel. So get excited about it. You'll see what will happen in your church. And God will bless your church too. I guarantee it. Well, we're so glad to have the Lakes here today. They're going to come and sing for us once again before our preacher comes today.
To put a fat guy up to sing after lunch, but that's what he did, so. Amen. Amen. It's good to be saved. Amen. All right.
His name forever, God. couple times already this week, but thank God for those things in our life that never change. Amen. I grew up in a good church and a couple good churches, in fact, and in a good church now. But thank God for some things that have never changed. You know, the Word of God has never changed, and the power of the Word of God has never changed. And things are changing all around us. The society is changing quickly, but thank God for those sure things. Amen.
Good. We appreciate that so much. Our preacher for this hour is Brother Jason Hamby. I met Brother Hamby at the conference in Quebec just a few years ago, and God knit our hearts together. And I really believed as soon as I decided we were host this conference, that God would have Brother Hamby come and preach for us. He grew up in West Africa in the Ivory Coast. And because of the coup in 1991, he and his wife had to leave. And when they came back, or 99, I guess it was. It wasn't until 2004. All right, 2004. They came back to North America in Quebec and already speaking French, and God allowed them to lead some souls to Christ, and so there they planted a church. And so we're so thankful for his work in Trois Rivières, Quebec at Faith Baptist Church. Brother Hamby, you come preach to us today.
God bless you. Man, he didn't knit our hearts, he knit our heads. Amen. And I figured out as soon as I saw him, I had a brother. Amen. Brother Clarence too. Amen. That's right. And I only thing I realized, I said, he's never heard me preach. Bless his heart for that. And I realized the only reason he had me preach this week is because he has more hair than me. No, yeah, that's it. So, praise the Lord. I really count it an honor and a privilege to get to speak to you today and to preach the Word. Amen. I like the theme for the conference this week. I appreciate the fact that God's Word is unchanging. Amen. Amen. Never changes. Amen. And, when you preach programs and you preach, opinions, those things change. But God's Word will never change. Amen. And if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And as you're turning there, I want to just for a second. Oh, pull it up. Yes, sir. I'm not used to such a big church. My church is a whole lot closer. So I don't even hardly use a microphone. But as you're turning there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I thought Brother Grimes was going to preach my message this morning. He just kept on going. I said, just keep on going. You'll do a better job anyway. Amen. But I appreciate the message this morning. Last night, Brother Rutherford, bless your heart. I appreciate the Word of God. And I appreciate the Spirit of it, the way it was preached. Amen. And it touched my heart. And I just want to share with you just a few minutes before the message. If you have a Macedonian missionary come through, we're with Macedonian World Baptist Missions out of Braselton, Georgia. And that's part of the accent that you hear. The other part's the French part. The Frenchy part coming out. Canadian Tire. That'll help you out. Canadian Tire. So anyway, if you'll stop by our table back there, we have cards with Macedonian World Baptist Missions International. I work as Service Far North Director for Macedonia. And we have Canadian offices here in Canada and with a registered BN and a charitable number. So we if you have a missionary come through and you because we, as far as law goes, we're not allowed to support missionaries straight out unless you have certain things in your covenant, I think, is how it works. So we do have an office here and we have cards with the address, our BN there, everything on there. So we'd love for you to take one and consider a Macedonian missionary. I know we have a bunch of mission boards represented today, and I'm thankful for a mission board. In fact, I was a month old. No, 2 months old. Me and Brother Gordon joined the same time. They take young missionaries, 2 months old. My mom and dad went with Macedonia in 1975. I am a spring chicken, I know. But we're so thankful. I'm thankful for our mission board. I'm thankful for the years that it stood faithful to God's Word. And for great men of God. And I stand in the midst of great men of God today. And I don't feel worthy to stand here and preach to you today. And I appreciate the opportunity. And I hope I can be a blessing to you and a help to you. And Brother Grooms was preaching on the power of God. And today I want to preach on the calling of God in your life. The calling of God. Not too long ago, something was told to me that bothered me tremendously. There was a preacher, missionary that I know, said these words. He said, I don't believe man has to have a call of God in his life to preach the Word. I thought, wow. I mean, I understand, you can have teachers in our church and not necessarily have the call of God to be a teacher in a Sunday school class and a thing, but I believe with all of my heart, and I want to go on record today, so I believe God's call is a vital part of our ministries. Without it, I guarantee you, we wouldn't be sitting here tonight. This afternoon. It may be tonight. Don't go to sleep on me. Okay. I've got the heavy duty of preaching to you guys after lunch. And ladies, so. But the call of God is a vital thing. A vital, vital thing. And I want to preach today for a few minutes on the call of God. If you'll take your Bibles in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through verse number 8. 1 through verse number 8. The Bible says this, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the Word. That's the theme of the conference this week. And I thought, what better verse to preach out of? Preach the Word. Amen. I was praying, Lord, let me be one of the first preachers. Because that way I can preach it. Amen. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me all at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, in these next few minutes that we have left, I pray that You'll just use me in a mighty way. I pray, Father, hide me behind the cross, God. I need Your power. I need Your touch. And I thank You for the singing. I thank You for the wonderful meal that the ladies prepared for us today. And we glorify You for that. We appreciate it. We are grateful. And Lord, we thank You for the singing, for the preaching of Your Word. Not only the physical meal that we have, but the spiritual food that we've been partaking of this week. And so often as preachers, you feed and you feed and you feed and you need fed sometimes. You need to be fed. And Lord, I pray that You'll bless our hearts today and work in our souls. And lift us up to Lord, to have that fellowship with You, that we can be a blessing and a help to our churches as we return home. In Your precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Don't know anything about me. I was saved as a missionary kid. I'm a warped missionary kid. You know, they're abnormal. But I'm writing a book. I'm going to call it Normal MKs in an Abnormal World. Amen. We're normal. Y'all aren't normal. but MK, I grew up as an MK, but that didn't save me. And as a little boy, I remember hearing the gospel. I was practically born in church, raised in church. We never missed a service. You know, we were there for every service. We were there for cleaning day. I mean, we were there. First ones open the door, the last ones to leave. And I appreciate that. Amen. I appreciate a father and a mother that loved the house of God and loved the preaching of God's word and had me under from the time I was a baby. And so as a young man at 5 years old, I began to understand, you know, my need of a Savior. And at 6 years old, in Ivory Coast, West Africa, I can take you back to the house. I've driven back by there several times to look at it. And I remember one evening, it was on a Thursday evening, we'd had a service at church. I don't know why we had service on Thursday. We came home that night, and the message had scared me to death about hell that night. I mean, absolutely. And little boys, I mean, that was scary. And in Africa, our roofs were made of tin. You know, we had a galvanized tin roof. And the rain just was pounding that night. I remember it scared me to death. But Jessup, I laid in bed after devotions. And Dad had given us the word one more time and sent us to bed. And here in Africa, you know, I'm in my baggy little underwear. And that's how we slept, you know, over there at the time. And bless my heart. Anyway, well, we didn't have much money. And but anyway, I was scared. I laid there. And all I could think, if this... the lightning's going to strike through this house, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to go to hell. It scared me to death. And I remember running back into the living room. We didn't even have a real couch. We had a little fold-up chairs. That was our couch living room set. And I remember asking my dad, "Dad, I don't know for sure if I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I want to know. I don't want to die and go to hell." And he took the word of God right there in Yopougon, Ivory Coast, in Abidjan, and showed me how I can be saved. So I'm a result of a missionary, amen, going to Africa to see me saved. So I thank the Lord for that. And I was saved at 6 years old. And as missionary kids go, you want to come back, you know, on furloughs. And you try to be impressive to the girls. You know how they are. Back then I had a lot of hair. And you try to be impressive. A whole lot thinner and good looking. Yes, Brother Gordon, I had all the hair. And so I got hung around, you know, hanging around with the wrong crowd. Usually preacher's kids, I'm sorry. But got hanging around with the wrong crowd. And I'm going to tell you something. I started running from the Lord, and God began to spank me. We had a revival at our church, and some of you may know Brother Joel Alter down in Jonesboro, Georgia. He came and preached at our church, and I'm going to tell you something. He lit the wood, I'm telling you. And I was sitting about fourth row back on the right side, and he preached God's word that night about the Rose of Sharon. And boy, I tell you, he took this rose and just mutilated this rose and talked about what Jesus had done for us and how the message, reasonable service, and what are we doing for Him? And boy, God just reached back there with that long finger, pow, right between the eyes. And I knew if I walked out of that building that night that I was going to die. I wasn't going to go to hell. I was saved. But I knew He was going to take me home because I was not living for Him. I didn't know when it was going to happen, but it scared me. And I remember I thought I'd everybody fooled. You know, missionary kids, we think we got it all figured out, the lingo, the walk, the talk, the dress. And I thought I had everybody fooled, Brother Lake. I did. And I came down that night, and I fell on the altar. About that time, I felt my dad's arm going around my shoulder. Oh, man. His arm went around my shoulder. And I confessed my sin to God. Got right with, boy, I tell you, a weight came off my shoulders. I turned to my dad and asked my dad for more. For years at that point, me and him had been butting heads. And he just never would let up on me. I mean, he stood on the steps of our house and said, "You want to live in this house?" A 16-year-old kid, you know, "You want to live in this house?" "Sure I do." you're going to live by my rules. You know, boy, that night, God got a hold of my heart.
Amen.
Broke my soul. And then he began to do something, Brother Bucher. He said the same name right, Bucher. God began to touch my heart and said, I want you to preach. I thought, oh, Lord, no. Everybody's going to think I want to be a preacher because my daddy was a preacher. So I questioned it for a couple of years. But every message I heard, and every devotion I read in my personal time with God, and every song I heard was about stepping in the gap and filling in the hedge. And boy, God reached down in my soul and squeezed my heart and said, I want you to preach God's Word. And I thought, man, I can't do it. And God says, you're absolutely right. But I can. I can do it. And I tell you, I called my dad. I said, Dad, how do you know you're being called to preach? You know, the famous question all you preachers probably asked your pastor or somebody, how do you know you're being called to preach? And my dad, in all his infinite wisdom and 40-something years in the ministry, said, you'll know. I said, you're no help. I was at Bob Jones University at the time in the dormitories. And I was going to be a teacher. I don't know what I was going to be. I couldn't figure out if God wanted me to preach at that point. I was just fighting it. And I called my pastor. I said, surely he'll know. Preacher Moore, you know, I've been pastor there for almost 40 years. And what a man of God. He'll know. I called Preacher Moore. I said, Preacher Moore, how do you know you're being called to preach? He said, Jason, I got one thing to say to you. You'll know. I said, oh, wow. What a help. I tell you, it finished up that night. And I went down to my devotion time down in one of the rooms they'd set aside in Smith Dormitory. And I got on my face before God. I said, if you're calling me to preach, show me your Word. And he took me right to this passage of Scripture and said, preach the Word. Amen. And boy, it rang in my soul and it rang in my heart. I knew I had to preach the Word. And when I said, God, I give it to you. Boy, I tell you, a load just went whew, right off of my heart. I ran up to my dormitory. I called my dad. I said, Dad, I surrendered to preach. He said, I knew it all along. I'm just waiting on you to figure it out. I was like, thanks for the wisdom. And I called my preacher. I said, preach more. I said, I've been called to preach. I said, I surrender tonight. He said, praise the Lord. Be ready Sunday night when you come home from church. And that way it went kaboom. I thought, my goodness. I said, he don't waste any time. So I began to prepare between all my classes, prepare for the message. Man, I tell you, I thought I'm going to have the best message in the world. You know, I studied for 10 hours, you know, that week. And I was ready Sunday night. My Sunday afternoon, my dad picked me up in Greenville and drove us back to Georgia. And I get up that night and I preach about that fast. My 10-hour study time was a 10-minute message with a 5-minute cassette tape I had to listen to. But you know what? We had the dear saints of God. I think, Brother Stack, you know, you grew up with some elderly folks in your church, and they had to turn their hearing aid on fast moving to hear me. And after church, they came up and just hugged me. They said, Brother Hamby, praise the Lord. We're so glad you surrendered to preach, but I didn't understand a thing you said. And so, praise the Lord. When he calls you to preach, you know it. Amen. And tonight, I must have been supposed to preach tonight, I guess. That might be when we finish. But I want to give you 4 points this afternoon that I hope will encourage you in the call of God in your life. 4 things. And I don't have anything new to give to you today. There's no new thing under the sun. Amen. But I tell you, it's fresh every morning. May not be new, but it sure is fresh. The first thing I want you to understand is we have an extreme unction from the Lord, the Holy Spirit living within us. I like what Timothy told, Paul told Timothy. He said, I charge thee. He didn't just say, I charge thee. He added the most important words of that verse of Scripture. He said, I charge thee before God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, he is God, but he wanted to reiterate who he was talking about. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to remember that our calling is not from man. Our calling is not from grandmama or from grandpa. Our calling is from on high. And we have the Holy Spirit in our heart that says, I am calling you to the ministry. You have a job to do. You have a job to do. He said, I charge thee before God. We have an extreme unction from before God. And I tell you, it is important because it is the call of God. So there's an important for, and it's needful for the laboring in the harvest field that we have this unction of God. as a missionary in Ivory Coast, West Africa, my wife and I, there was times, I'll be honest with you, you preachers have been through the same thing, you and your wives. Sometimes you labor in your flesh. Am I the only one that's ever done that? But sometimes we labor and we think, man, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And God says, whoa, why don't you let me build the house? Amen. And it's needful for the labor. And remember that God has called us to this ministry. We need to remember that it's God's ministry, not ours. It's His building. It's His house. It's His work. And He just called us to do a part. Not only do we see the importance of the call of God, which is needful for the laboring, but we see the responsibility of the call of God. I tell you one thing I've learned through these years of ministry. I cannot take my message lightly. I can't take it lightly. Words that I say will affect what's happening. I went to Dr. Silas after I surrendered to preach. The Lord led me to Tabernacle Baptist Bible College under Dr. Harold Seidler. And I had a wonderful, wonderful teachers there. And during the time I was there, and I'm going to tell you something, Dr. Seidler was a blessing, a great man of God. And we had a preacher come through one evening, and if I named him, a lot of you guys would know him, and I'm not going to do it. He never came back, let's put it that way. Dr. Seidler didn't have him back in the pulpit. But one evening, we had a packed crowd, about almost 800, 900 people in the service that night. And a young man came and sat in the very back row, and he had a baseball cap on his head. And this preacher got up and said, you know, and I'm not even saying, I don't even like saying the word, but bless, you know how they curse sometimes. Bless. And he pointed out that young man, get your hat off your head, son. You know, and listen, every one of us in here agree that we need to be respectful of the house of God. I believe with all my heart. But this young man was lost. And this young man had cancer, and he had lost all of his hair in his battle with leukemia. And he told his mom kept begging him, go to church with me, come, please come. They're having revival, come to church with me. He said, I will go to church on one condition, you will let me wear my hat in church. And that preacher, in all of his boldness and all of his, said, get that hat off your head. And guess what, that little boy got up, 13 years old, walked out and sat on the steps. And I know, we're like, oh, the rebellion in his heart. The kid was lost. You know what I found out? He never went back to church ever again. And I never heard the rest of the story, if he passed away recently, and I don't know. But if he did, and he hasn't accepted Christ, well, I tell you what. We have a huge, huge responsibility, men of God, that we preach the Word. Not our opinions. So not only is the importance of the call of God needful for the laboring, but the responsibility of the call of God is needful because of the liability. I like what the verse says, who says, shall judge the quick and the dead. Those that are living in Christ, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Am I right? And the dead, where are they going to go? The great white throne. He's going to be judging them both. And when we preach to lost people, we have a liability. And when we preach to saved people, we have a liability. And their souls are hanging in the balance. And their spiritual growth is hanging in the balance. Responsibility. Remember, it's nice to remember that there's a judge at the end of the road. Where's Brother Judge at? There he is over there. Sorry. I'm talking about a judge at the end of the road. I wasn't talking about you, Brother Judge. So thirdly, we have not only the needful for the laboring of the importance of the call, the responsibility of the call, but I like the authority of the call of God. Many of you have heard of Barney Fife. Knows from North Carolina. Feel my, you know, you understand here, brother, don't you, Brother Grimes? Oh, you understand it. Barney Fife wasn't an imposing figure of a man. You know, he wasn't a big, strapping deputy sheriff that comes in with his hat just. He's a little shrimpy guy, you know. But something happened to him when he put his badge on. You remember that? Boy, his chest would puff up and he'd go out there and he'd face any criminal. With one bullet. But he'd face down the crate and he'd put that bullet in that gun, and he'd be ready. Something would fall out of his hand. But you know what? When he put that badge on, I know this is just a TV show. Excuse me for that. Sorry. But he had authority behind him. Amen? And in real life, I tell you what, some man comes up to me and says, you're under arrest for doing such and such. And I look at him and said, how in the world are you going to arrest me? But he pulls out a badge. Guess what happens? Yes, sir. The whole thing changes. And I'm going to tell you something. As men of God, we have the authority of God backing us. It does not mean that we're perfect. It does not mean that we are dictators. It does not mean that we are lorded over the flock of God saying, I'm better than you. I'm going to beat you over the head of my Bible every Sunday. But we are to preach the Word of God with authority, knowing who's backing us. Amen? That who has called us into His ministry. And that authority, and I'm going to tell you something, is needful for the lasting. Because if I don't realize who has called me into the ministry, I will not last. And that same person and those people that say, I don't need a call of God to be a preacher of the Word, will not last in the ministry that God has called them to do. They will not last there. So not only do we need an extreme unction, I'm hurrying, I'm sorry, but I got 5 minutes. And I'm going to do these last 3 points in 5 minutes. So hurry up, turn your hearing aids up on fast. Because I'm going back to my young days. Not only do we need extreme unction from God in order to preach the Word, we also needed an understanding heart for the ministry. And something that Brother Ferry said about Brother Grooms, he said, when I heard him preach with an understanding heart. And I appreciate that. As I'm sitting there looking at my people every Sunday and every Wednesday, I realize, you know what? I'm no better than they are. And I realize something. I'm doing it right now. I'm going to do it. What's three fingers? At 3 point fingers pointing right back at me. And I tell my people, listen, before I can ever preach it to you, God has preached it to me. Amen. And as I stand before the men and women, the boys and girls in our churches, we have to have an understanding heart and know that they are, you know, some of them are lost and on their way to hell. Others are hurting saints of God. Some are babies. Some are grown. Spiritually, we need to understand our people. We need to understand our people. And I tell you what, this takes some things. They talked about it in the preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. And I think those things take understanding as we're trying to help our people. I can't reprove my church member and help them if I don't understand what's happening. I can't rebuke them. I can't exhort them unless I understand. I like how he used the word with long suffering. That's that patience to the end. I like how that was preached this morning. Just keep on going and preach with long suffering. Don't give up. But long suffering also has that word patience. We thought he read it in verse number 10 of chapter 3. With faith, long suffering. What was the other word? Charity and patience. We can't shear sheep every Sunday. And every Wednesday. And every Sunday morning. You scalp them and they look like me. It doesn't work. So I think three things happily. Real quick. Number one, I believe an understanding heart shows that we have a love for the Lord. Personally. When we love as the Lord loves, then it's evident that we belong to Him. We need to be careful that our reproof and rebuke and exhort be done in the love of Christ. And I'm not saying, the love. Feel the love. I'm talking about sometimes love can be tough love. Amen? Sometimes love can have somebody sit down and look them in the eyeball with the truth of God's Word and say, you know what? Your life is on the wrong track. Number two, it's a love for His Word. I had a missionary tell me this, and I'm a missionary a whole lot. I had a missionary tell me this. He said, Brother Hamby called me from the field, discouraged. I said, how you doing, brother? He said, I'm not doing too good. I said, what's going on? Are you all right? He said, I preached my 6 months of 6 months of messages from deputation. Now what do I do? I said, oh my goodness. I said, brother, this book is a fountain. Get in it. Love it. Dr. Sotler said just before he passed away, we're in one of his classes. He said this. He said, fellas, I've been in the ministry over 50 years and I haven't begun to scratch the surface of that great book. Well, it helped me to realize, Brother McLean, that it's a deep book and I need to fall in love with that book. Amen. That book is true from cover to cover and I'll never begin to scratch the surface of it as long as I shall live. And as long as God gives me breath to preach. Not only a love for the Lord, a love for His Word, but also a love for His people. I've learned that preaching God's truth and God's love for God's people has better results than beating them down with my opinions and bitterness of spirit. Because we as Baptist preachers, especially when we talk to each other a lot, we can get bitter in spirit. Amen. Well, this such and such did this, and this such and such did that. You're getting the pulpit. Just let it out. That's not the place to let it out. Call that preacher back and let it out. I'm just kidding. The love for his people. Love his people. Thirdly, not only an extreme unction, but an understanding heart, but also we have an assured faith for the length of the journey. I like what Paul says later in the passage, and there's a whole lot of points here, but I'm just going to jump through them. He says here, I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. And we need to have an assured faith. Sometimes it feels that we're beating our heads against the wall and the people aren't growing or the folks not being saved and there's rebellion to God's Word. And buddy, you come to Quebec and start preaching, you'll find rebellion to God's Word. I know you haven't anywhere, but man, I've been everywhere and I've been about the most rebellious I've seen yet. And I'm going to tell you something. It's hard sometimes, but you know what? When God breaks through, what a great people, brother. So ain't that the truth, Brother Somerville? Man, sometimes you feel like you're just doing this number every Sunday. Man, God just breaks through the heart and you see Him work in their life. Let me say this. Don't give up. Don't quit. And one of our phrases, Brother Somerville knows this, one of our phrases that we have over there is on restaurants and different places. Lâche pas la patate. Can y'all say that with me? Lâche pas la patate. And we're not speaking in tongues. That means don't drop the tater. That's our way of saying don't quit. Don't give up. Keep on for the Lord. Lâche pas la patate. Keep on going for the Lord. And have faith that He's going to work in the lives. Because we need the fact that we need faith unwavering in God who called us into His ministry. Amen. Faith is a grain of mustard seed that can move mountains in the ministry, and stories tell about that. Faith that calms the storms on the sea of life. Faith that God will and wants to change the lives of our people. And the last point, and I close, we need to realize that we have an absolute authority in God and His Word. Verses 1 and 8, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last verse, number 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but in all them also that love is appearing. There's a righteous judge for us preachers waiting. We have an absolute authority. God is the absolute authority, not us. We have a tendency to get a little big for our britches sometimes, don't we? Bigger our ministry, or sometimes even when it's small, we think we're doing something fantastic and phenomenal. Boy, I tell you, look how the pride is lifted up, and man, look how great a job I'm doing. And I need to preach at that conference. That's not what I prayed. I promise you, I didn't. I thought, what in the world is he thinking? Honestly. Not only the absolute authority of God, but His Word is our final authority. I love how he says it in long-suffering and doctrine. Christ is our message. The world is our mandate. Heaven is our destination. And the crown is our reward. And we need to understand that when God called us, He meant it. Amen? Be certain. And I'm going to tell you like they told us. This is probably for the young preachers. Maybe it's not for the older preachers today. Get it settled. And then get busy. Amen? And then don't quit. There's too many souls that hang in the balance. Too many souls hang in the balance. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we come to the close today. We pray, Father, that You work in our hearts and our lives. Thank You so much, Father, for the messages already. Your Word has been preached faithfully. And I pray that we'll take it home with us and continue on faithfully for You. In Your precious name. Amen. Brother Fury.
Today, we're going to do the same as we did in the last meeting. We're going to give you a little bit of a break before the next session. It's supposed to start in just a couple minutes. But we'll wait until 2:30 to start, and we'll have about an hour before our break. The tour for the young people has to be canceled because of the weather, but what we're doing is just take them back to our school, and we have workers back there. They're going to play a bunch of games with them. They've already had their ice cream sundae with their lunch, and but they're going to play some games with them at this time, so you're free of your children for a little while. So, ladies, you can really enjoy your meeting, all right? So I'm going to give you a few minutes. What I'm going to encourage you to do is, like we did for our invitation earlier, just grab somebody, maybe somebody you don't know, spend a couple minutes in prayer with them, and then just dismiss quietly. We'll meet back here at 2:30, men, ladies, in the gymnasium where we had lunch. At 2:30 for your ladies' meeting. All right, God bless you.